Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Genesis. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluffville, Tennessee, 37617. Now here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're continuing our study in the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. We're in chapter 12. And as I told you last time, this is the call of Abram and the call of Abraham, if you will, because his name's going to be changed from Abram to Abraham. And so it's easier for us just to call him Abraham, I suppose, than to continue to try to call him by his given name at this point. However, it is interesting that we know him as Abraham, and yet the story hasn't gotten to that point yet in our study. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. This is the beginning of the call of Abraham. In spite of the wickedness of the human heart, God wanted to show his grace. And so he wanted a people that were his own, a chosen people. And there were three points to that chosen people. The first one was that these were people that he might give the Holy Scriptures to, and that they might be trusted to keep them in their original as was needed for this truth to be passed on to generations yet to come. God wanted a chosen people to be his witnesses to other nations. And that was the call upon Abraham here, as he was to leave his country and his kindred, his father's house, and all of these idols. And then third, God wanted a chosen people that would be the nation, the family of the Messiah. So he called this man, Abram, to leave his home, his family, not his wife now. He took his wife with him, took his servants with him. He was from Ur of the Chaldees. It was a very idolatrous town. And then he was to go to an unknown area. This would be a place that the Lord would show him, but that he did not know. And God would make him a father of mighty nations. We see that in that covenant there in verses 1 through 3. Verse 2, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. This begins the history of God's chosen people, Israel. It's interesting that the people are not called Abraham. They're called Israel. Remember that wherever Abraham went, he built an altar. The altar was not an altar to an unknown God or to a deity that was far off or to many deities. It was to the one true and living God. God had honored Abraham by revealing himself to him and calling him his friend. What a title it is to be called a friend of God. And that was Abraham. God made a covenant with him, saying, of course, that he would be the father of a great nation, and that through him all the nations, that is, all the people and people groups of the earth would be blessed through Abraham. So then Abraham's family became a peculiar people. They were a peculiar charge, meaning a particular and singular charge that God had. God dealt with them as with no others. Throughout history, we see God dealing with every kind and type of nation and kindred and tongue, and yet never is anyone treated with the kindness, the mercy, the chastisements, the difficulties, and the blessings of the people called Israel. These Jews are always spoken of as God's chosen people. There are those within Judaism who refuse to be called God's chosen people. Can you believe that? I've met them. They're of the Reformed Judaism. And they tell me that they are not God's chosen people. They are the ones who choose God, so they're the choosing people. It's quite contrary to Scripture, but that's what some, just as there are some who are supposedly Christian that don't believe the truth, that's true of the some of the Jewish folks that I've talked to about this very thing. Now, it will be through Isaac, Abraham's son, that the promises of God are going to be passed down then to Jacob, who is one of Isaac's boys. And Jacob was filled with many faults, just as you are, just as I am. But he did value God's covenant blessing, and he was enthusiastic about God's plan of founding a nation by which the whole world would be blessed. Jacob was a wanderer, and in his wanderings he suffered for his sin. And through the chastening of Almighty God, he became a great man. If you look at Jacob as he started, or even Jacob in midlife, you would wonder about that. But that we will see in Genesis up through chapter 32 about the sojourns and the chastisements and the victories that Jacob wins. And these victories, of course, are at the hand of God, not at his hand, but at the hand of God. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. That's how we get the children of Israel. And Israel means, Israel means prince with God. Genesis 32:28 gives us the meaning of his name. So Israel, that is, Jacob, after he's come through the chastisements and the fire, has a name of Israel, which means a prince with God. It's a name by which God's chosen people then are called. They're the Israelites. They're the children of Israel. Jacob's 12 sons became the heads of the 12 tribes of Israel. And you can read about that later on in Genesis chapter 49. But chapters 12 through 32, and even up to 38, I should say. So Genesis 12 through 38 give us the call of Abraham and the family set up and how things get started. All of that in those chapters. Now, we're in chapter 12, and we have come to verse 11. Chapter 12 and verse 11. Remember in verse 10, we see the famine that was in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt because the famine was grievous in the land. Apparently it was not in Egypt. And so we get to verse 11. And it came to pass, when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, "Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me. But they will save thee alive." Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Let's stop there for just a second and reflect upon the fact that Abram's faith was great enough to leave his home and his family and to sojourn in places he had never been and didn't know about, but he didn't have faith to trust that God could keep him when he was going down to Egypt. How sad that his faith was so great in one area and so sparse and so failing and frail in another. He could trust God to be a great man. He could trust God to be the father of nations, but he couldn't trust God to keep him safe in Egypt. This is a pattern of humanity. It's a pattern of mankind. Oftentimes we can trust for the great and we can't trust for the daily. How sad it is for us? Yes, it is, but it is a human frailty. And we certainly see human frailty throughout in the book of Genesis. Verse 14, and it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. She was becoming part of the harem. And he entreated Abram well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen, and she asses, men servants, maid servants, and she asses and camels. So he gave these things to Abram as a gift. This was sort of a dowry he was giving to Abram to have his favor as he was going to be taking Sarai to be one of his many wives. Verse 17, and the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? And now therefore, behold, thy wife, take her and go thy way. And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. Now here, God has blessed Abraham in the midst of his cunning and sinning and his lying. But God yet blessed him with all of these goods that he took with him. Now, it doesn't mean that goods are always a blessing, but here he's been blessed with these goods. Now, Abram lied about Sarai everywhere he went. He thought he was saving his life by lying about her. He had been saved. He was called by God. He had been placed into this relationship with Almighty God in such a wonderful way. But then he sinned. God's sovereignty overcame that sin. God plagued Pharaoh and his house, and Abram was rebuked by Pharaoh. By the way, she was a half-sister. We find that in Genesis 20, verse 12. But nonetheless, he was lying. And that should not be countenanced. It should not be acceptable for us to be liars and proud of it. Well, I don't know how proud he was, but he certainly was chastised for it. She was the wife of Abraham. She was the half-sister of Abraham. She was originally called Sarai. She came with Abraham from Ur. Her inability to produce an heir was the major factor in her convincing Abraham to have a child by Hagar, and we know that there's been nothing but trouble ever since. Hagar was her slave, was her handmaid. At age 90, Sarah conceived and bore Isaac. Later, at her insistence, Hagar and Ishmael were expelled by Abraham. She lived to be 127 years old, so she lived 37 years after, or 36, depending on how you count it, after the birth of Isaac. And Isaac, of course, the name means laughter. She died at Kirjath Arba, or we call it Hebron, was buried in the cave of Machpelah. The New Testament refers to Sarah as the mother of the children of promise in Romans chapter 9, verse 9. She's included in the list of the faithful in Hebrews 11:11. She's cited as an example of obedience to her husband in 1 Peter 3:6. And so Sarah, indeed, is one of the shining women of Scripture. She did what she was told by her husband, even when it was sin. And it's a sad thing to lead your family into sin, gentlemen. And so for the men who would hear the study that we're giving today, I would caution you not to lead your family into sin. Now let's talk about Egypt for just a little bit. This is the first real instance that we're getting to know Egypt. It was the greatest civilization of its time, at this time anyway. It was in northeastern Africa, including both the northern and the southern kingdom, as we have talked about. And Egypt was an important factor in Israel throughout the Old Testament and even into the New Testament, as we saw where Christ, Jesus himself, was taken into Egypt for safekeeping when there was the murder of the innocents by Herod. Chapter 13, and Abram went out of Egypt. He was expelled, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south, and Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which was with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. The herds were too big, the flocks were too big. It was difficult now for them to live in close proximity because of just too many animals. Verse 7, and there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, and if thou depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. He set this before his nephew Lot, and he said, whichever way you want to go, I'll go in the opposite direction. That way we won't have a problem. It was a good solution. Apparently, Abram, despite his faults, was a very wise man. Verse 10, and Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plains of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. This is where we see the beginning of troubles for Lot and Abraham, for that matter. Verse 12, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Remember the difficulty with the sinful people of Canaan. And Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And now we see verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Now it's interesting that God in his word would have it said of Sodom that they were wicked and sinners before the Lord. exceedingly. They were not just sinners. They were exceedingly great in their sin. May it never be said of you or me that we are exceedingly great in our sin. What a way to talk of people, and yet this is God in an analysis of the people of Sodom. They were not only wicked, but they were sinners before the Lord exceedingly. They were such great sinners that they had a special term given to them by Almighty God.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluffville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluffville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.